From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of April, 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. A bit later in the program, Dave Chatterton will be here from the Powerline Group right here in Champaign County to take up the agricultural energies. We'll look at the weather forecast for the day, and we'll discuss the agricultural news. Tomb. All right, here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media, public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson. He is at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
So yesterday I traveled back from Fargo, North Dakota after spending a week there with my daughter. It was a good week. Got to talk to a few folks from NDSU. Those are up, I think, on the webpage at this moment. If you'd like to hear what's been happening with spring wheat or kind of the crop rotation, which was a little different than I was thinking about at that point, because they, if they don't get spring wheat in, probably go back to spring wheat, and spring wheat follows soybeans generally in their crop rotation, so they could go back to soybeans or canola. And I learned quite a bit while I was up there. That's one of the good reasons to make your way from one place to the other around the Midwest. While there are some differences in crop rotations and some of the crops, you know, most of it tends to be a lot the same. So I learned something. I hope everybody else learned a little something along the way, too. The good news is I made it back, but I had the delay. I was thinking I'd come home Friday, and that big storm last week, Wayne, I rolled in on Thursday into the Dakota, South Dakota. We didn't get anything at all in Fargo. No snow out of it. But South Dakota, a large part of Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. And it took it all the way through Sunday to get out. And Sunday must have been a rough day, Wayne, because there were more than a few semis off the road between Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Madison. I know that's a 280-mile run, but man, I was surprised by how much snow this thing dumped. It just really managed to put a lot of snow on the ground. However, the markets didn't seem to pay that much attention. There must have been something yesterday that got into them. Down 12 cents for the soybeans yesterday, I noted, and then back up today. Just a turnaround Tuesday, in your opinion?
Well, I think that basically they were given back a little bit to the extra they took off. I think that one of the things that they've talked about extremely, is that the idea that delayed plantings could mean, because of the cold weather and the snow, could mean more beans than corn in some areas that way. And basically along the way, they took the beans down thinking there could be some more acres. Also, of course, the Chinese, the tariff situation, the idea of dropping stuff on the barley, especially talking about the going to the WTO with that. And I think they have to put up 178.6% duty and put money back if they're going to import U.S. sorghum here right now. So that's, some of those things are a little bit worrisome. But I think the University of Illinois has put on their webpage quite a bit here that the corn crop, it's way too early to worry about delayed planting. We planted 24% of the corn crop in 1 week just last year.
Yeah, 42%. So you got that number backwards. So 42% was the fastest rate at which we've done.
Okay, that was the fastest. Last year we did 24%. In 17, it was a couple years earlier, we did the 42. So
yeah, but that's right. And you know what? I saw that number. I think I saw that graphic from them. I was surprised that in the 90s sometime we did a week that fast, too.
That's somewhat amazing, but we had more farmers, not the size of equipment. We had more farmers, so there's more people and more planters probably out there back then, I think.
Yeah, so the point being that we can put a crop in pretty quickly as long as we have the open days. And we're still on, only the 17th day of April. So I suppose most people are thinking there might be quite a few open days. There will be a delay, though. Has anybody talked very much about the snow cover, how long it'll take it to get off, and then what that means in terms of how long it'll take soil temperatures to come up? Because 4-inch soil temperatures across Illinois, Iowa, of course, across the Dakotas and Minnesota really are still quite cold.
They're going to be cold, and until the snow cover comes off, we know they can't be any more than 31 degrees or so. So, you know, and then we got to get it off. We've got to cool things or warm things back up. You know, as you were reading the temperatures going on there, we're going to go from 51 to 64 here for going into the end of this week, into the first of next week. We did see some corn planted here in Montgomery County on Friday, probably 200 to 300 acres by a couple of the large farmers. Don't know how that's going to turn out for them, but they did actually get out and do some of that. And there's talk that not tomorrow, but maybe by Thursday or Friday that we'll see a little more action in the fields over here.
What do you think about the rest of this week as it relates to trade in Chicago? Are there any fundamentals that we need to watch at this time?
Yeah, you know, Thursday we look for the NAFTA group to meet again. You know, if we can make some progress on that, would be very good. We continue to see slowing of Chinese purchases here from the U.S. They're advancing quite a bit. We're looking at the maybe better rain on some of the wheat areas that's helping things along the way, and that's that way. And Dr. Cordonier boasted the Brazilian corn crop a million metric tons when he was looking at down there, thinking it's looking just a little bit better there in Brazil. So, you know, a lot of stuff with that. The talks about, they, you know, we're supposed to come out sometime later this week with what we're actually going to put tariffs on with China. You know, the big thing would be is just getting them to the bargaining table to work some of this out instead of actually apply these tariffs. I think that's going to be the most damaging of all, is we actually have tariffs back and forth.
Have farmers been calling while they've not been in the field, or have they been hauling? Either one of those things would be of interest.
I think that most of the brokerage offices have been very quiet the last couple of days. I think they're hauling corn, and I think they're also, you know, getting their machinery ready. They're getting more nervous and wanting to go do something. The guys that are aggressive marketers have already marketed the share that they want to for now, and they're wanting to see, they're wanting to get something in the ground before they push their marketing program any farther.
Anything from the livestock sector we should talk about for the day?
You know, the livestock's continued to put money back on here. We're not sure if it can continue to do this, but it's made up for a lot of the sell-off we saw over the last 2 weeks here in the last couple of days. So livestock's looking a little bit better.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us for the day.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson. He is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, let's start with trade, China, and Mexico. The president was in Florida yesterday. Mr. Trump mentioned NAFTA and China in the same sentence. What's important are the things that he didn't say and that he did say. First, he didn't say that he was going to terminate the NAFTA trade deal.
So we're renegotiating NAFTA, which was probably the worst deal ever made in the history of trade. But with China, we're at $375 billion trade deficit. So we started a process, and we'll see how it ends up. But we're going to win.
So the president is in line with the rest of the messages coming out of Washington, D.C., that a North American free trade agreement may be soon penned. On China, however, the end result remains far more uncertain. Just to underscore how close the renegotiation of the North American Free Trade Agreement may be, Vice President Mike Pence said over the weekend he's very hopeful. Talks to reach an agreement continued this week, of course, in Washington, D.C., as all sides are eyeing an early May finish line. Pence spoke at the Summit of the Americas in Peru over the weekend. He told reporters there's a real possibility an agreement could be reached in the next several weeks. Let's stay with trade, but look at a different vehicle. Farmers will find no relief from tariff retaliation in the GOP Farm Bill draft. House Ag Chair Mike Conaway says the Department of Agriculture has flexibility to offset losses in an earlier disaster bill. The proposed 2018 Farm Bill is unlikely to provide producer relief from tariff retaliation from China or others. The money's just not there. House Ag Chairman Mike Conaway says he's working with a bare-bones budget to write a Farm Bill, and argues there's already money available in an earlier passed bill.
Those near-term emergency protections were revitalized with a supplemental under Section 32 for Sonny Perdue to be able to use. So the Secretary of Ag will be able to be more nimble with respect to that, and that's already in place.
Farm groups argue they'd rather have markets than government payments, but cannot afford to lose a massive market like China. If there's a trade war, National Corn Growers wants a farm bill solution to any tariff retaliation. The American Soybean Association and American Farm Bureau are waiting to see what the administration offers, while hoping trade tensions with China ease. And finally today, this story related to ethanol. While the Trump administration was met with applause from many in agriculture in suggesting it will grant an E15 summertime waiver to allow sales year-round, oil industry officials are expressing concern. The American Petroleum Institute, or API, says forcing higher ethanol fuel blends into the marketplace could have negative consequences for the American consumer. API claims higher ethanol blends, such as E15, can harm engines and fuel systems and potentially force drivers to pay for unexpected costly repairs themselves. The industry plans to consider all options to prevent such a waiver. By the way, the Environmental Protection Agency has already done all the work on 2001 and later vehicles and says E15 is good to go in those cars and trucks. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that as of Sunday, 3% of the corn crop had been planted around the nation. The rolling five-year average is 5%. 9% of the winter wheat crop is headed. The five-year average is 10%. The condition of the crop this week is 26% good, 5% excellent. That compares to last year at 46% good and 8% excellent. 3%, by the way, of the spring wheat has been sown. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 15%. Now we hear updates from statisticians in Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa.
This is Ben Torrance, agricultural statistician for the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Region Field Office. As cold, wet weather persisted yet another week, statewide Iowa farmers had only 1.3 days suitable for field work. When conditions allowed, farmers in the southern two-thirds of the state were busy applying fertilizer and seeding oats with isolated reports of tillage. Recent heavy snow and rain have left northern Iowa with surplus soil moisture. 12% of the expected oat crop has been planted, 9 days behind last year and 10 days behind the five-year average. While one quarter of the oats have been planted in east central and southwest Iowa, northwest and north central Iowa have yet to get planting underway. Livestock producers continue to experience challenges with snowfall and below normal temperatures stalling spring pasture growth and making tending to calves difficult throughout much of the state. For the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Region Field Office, this is Ben Torrance.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Below normal temperatures continue to cross Illinois despite two nice spring-like days with above normal temperatures. Average weekly temps were below normal across the state and range from nearly 7 degrees below average to just over 1 degree below normal. Most parts of the state had above normal precip, but western and northern areas were slightly drier than normal. Overall, the state averaged 1.17 inches of rain, which was 0.1 inch above normal for the week. Soil temperatures on Sunday ranged from the mid to upper 30s in northern parts of the state to the lower 50s in central and southern areas. 3% of winter wheat acres are heading, compared to 3% 1 year ago and 1% for the five-year average. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 4% of acres very poor, 8% poor, 34 fair, 47 good, and 7% excellent, slightly better than 1 week ago. There were scattered reports of corn planting received last week, but not enough to equal 1%. This has been Mark Schleusener from the Springfield, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Dan Loftus, the statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office. Lingering cooler than normal temperatures and additional snowfall across much of the state resulted in another week of 0 days suitable for field work. Snow cover remains widespread with most areas reporting frost still in the ground and soil temperatures below normal for this time of year. Snow cover and cool temperatures have delayed planting of spring crops. Oats planted were reported at 0% complete, 16 percentage points behind last year and 17 points behind the five-year average. Potatoes planted at 0% complete was 14 percentage points behind last year and 7 points behind average. Spring wheat planted at 0% complete was 8 percentage points behind last year and 13 points behind average. And sugar beets planted at 0% complete was 16 percentage points behind last year and 18 points behind the 5-year average. Pastures remain dormant as spring calving continues, while some producers continue to struggle with dwindling hay supplies. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Janice Pressberry with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Wet and cold conditions prevailed and continue to delay field work. Average temperatures range from 40 to 55 degrees and from 7 degrees below to 4 degrees above normal. The lowest recorded temperature for the week was 16 degrees, the highest 82 degrees. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.07 to 1.95 inches. Flood waters receded, but fields are still very wet. Winter wheat continues to green up, but is slow to joint and tiller. There are reports of a very small amount of planting soybeans and corn. Pastures and hay fields still need improvement. Field lots have made some improvement from last week, but are still sloppy. Livestock are reported to be in good condition. During the small window of warmer weather, some farmers did tillage, hauled grain to elevators, application of fertilizers, and preparation of equipment for tillage and planting. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report. This is Janice Pressberry reporting.
Now let's turn our attention to what's been happening in the agricultural energies. We're joined by Dave Chatterton. He's with the Powerline Group right here in Champaign County. Hey, good afternoon to you, Dave. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Todd. Great to be with you and great to be on.
It is good to be here in Champaign County. I've been following a story, I know you have been too, as it's related to RINs and then kind of the negotiations that have been happening in Washington, D.C. What do we know about E15 and its use year-round and the possibilities?
Well, there's been a lot of movement on the issue here of late, Todd, and of course it's a carrot on a stick, I guess, from the oil industry or the political side of the oil in Congress to get some things done. And really what it is, as far as the carrot goes, it's a very small offering for the ag side or for the biofuels industry as a whole. E15 sales nationally are pretty tiny. They're only 0.3% of the entire, you know, gasoline sales in the U.S., so about 145 billion gallons annually. To get that, right now they're limited in the summer due to the pollution waivers. By allowing those sales through the summer months, you could maybe get that to 0.5%. I think, you know, at the end of the day, you're not going to gain much here. You can maybe say we can get an additional 50 million bushels of corn demand out of that, but it is not going to be a big factor.
Turn your attention to directly some usage issues. What do we know about diesel fuel and maybe propane?
Well, prices remain elevated here as we continue to struggle with kind of building stocks in crude distillates and the LPGs or the propanes. The issue for both of those markets is really the exports, and specifically it's the inability to build stocks because we're exporting so much of these products. And we have record domestic oil production, we have record, you know, refinery throughput, but we just haven't been able to build our products. So inventories, particularly for propane, are starting the summer season, the build season, and behind the curve. Diesel fuel inventories are going to struggle to continue to stay current as well. So the pricing structures are higher than when we talked in the last segment last month. We're up about a dime in each of those products. Propane in general, in particular, I think you need to get your coverage on sooner rather than later if you can fill your tanks or get your contracts for fall. It's going to be an ugly spring, I think, for diesel fuel locally just with some supply outages, so make sure you have your coverage there and you can be a little bit more patient on what you're looking at for fall or for summer irrigation.
Why is it that U.S. Product seems to be so cheap on the international market? And I only have a few seconds.
Yeah, it's not necessarily cheap. It's just that when you see Brent crude, Dubai crude, and all the competing values above what the U.S. crude values are, we've got a Brent WTI spread of about $5 now. It just makes our products look a little bit cheaper, and we have the export capability and capacity.
Hey, thanks, Dave. I appreciate you explaining that all to us.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Dave Chatterton. He is with the Powerline Group from right here in Champaign County. Back in just 2 minutes. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Normally on Tuesdays, we talk with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He is not available to us this afternoon for the weather forecast. However, I have some numbers for you. Let's start with soil temperatures at the 4-inch level as reported at 10 o'clock in the morning. On this date a year ago, the most northern reporting station in Illinois showed the 4-inch soil temperature at 58 degrees. This year, that number, 34.6 degrees, and all but the most southern temperatures were in the 30s, and even the most southern temperatures were only in the low 40s, with only one temperature at 46 degrees. In Iowa, the temperature's not much better as it relates to soil temperature, with only a few southern counties in the 40s, everything else in the low to mid 30s. Last year, Iowa's numbers were in the 60s and the upper 50s. Now, here the weather forecast will start in Des Moines, Iowa for today. 47 degrees is their high. They'll stay in that range until we get to Friday, when they'll have a 60 degree top, and then they'll start to run at that 60 to 65, 70 degrees all the way through Monday. They should dry out this week and have some wind as well. Their lows will remain in the mid-30s to the mid-40s by the end of the week. In Illinois, we'll be in Springfield here with 50s all week long until we get to the beginning of next week, and we may pop into that 70-degree mark on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. The lows will be in the mid-30s for a good portion of the week, with the exception of tonight when we'll drop down to 29 degrees, with more substantial lows in that upper 30s to mid-40s for a good portion of the week. In the third most productive corn state in the nation, Nebraska, the high today at 62. They'll drop off to 46 and then narrow out to 56, 62, 63, 68 by the time we get into the beginning of next week in the very low 70s. They'll drop to 29 degrees tonight and have temperatures in that upper 30s to low 40s all the way to 50 degrees by Tuesday of next week for their lows. Minneapolis, Minnesota, a cool 38 degrees for a high today, 35 tomorrow, and then in the 40s, the 50s, and finally the 60s by the time we get to next week. And they'll drop to 24 tonight, 26 tomorrow, 24 on Thursday. They'll stay in that 30 degree, maybe 40 degree level by the time we get to Tuesday of next week. In Indianapolis, Indiana, they're in the number 5 corn producing state in the nation. 49 degrees today, 63 tomorrow, 57 Friday, 71 on Monday. Their lows, 32, and then 32, 34, and 50 by the time we get to Tuesday of next week. And that's a quick look at the agricultural weather forecast across the United States. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.